Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It's a great Tuesday, actually, in the state of Arizona. I'll explain why in a minute. It's always a great day when we do the show, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We are Arizona-centric. Our website, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Peter King is going to be with us on today's show. Always good, every Tuesday. MMQBSI.com, senior NFL writer, all things around Larry Fitzgerald's future in Arizona. Todd Bowles, the playoff. I don't think it's good when you hear the name Dean Blandino or Pete Morelli over and over and over the day after a playoff game. Those are officials or head of officials, and so you don't want to hear those names. And the NFL is in an uproar today to the point where pass interference and defensive holding, a push is being made starting today that this offseason they will make those two plays reviewable so that what happened in the Detroit-Dallas game wouldn't happen again. What does Peter think about that? It's also not good when you're talking about Chris Christie. I don't mind mixing politics and sports. God knows we do that on this show. But Chris Christie hugging it out with Jerry Jones, you know, after a while, that wears on me a little bit. And I want to know who's a player or two that Peter looks at in these final four games, or coach even, that he thinks has not received enough attention. He wrote about John Harbaugh today, so I'm going to talk to Peter about that. Pedro Gomez is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour, about 10:35. ESPN Baseball Insider and, of course, good friend of the show. He's done quite a bit around the Cardinals, too, in this last couple of months. But we're going to focus on baseball with Pedro. He is a Baseball Hall of Fame voter. Today is the Hall of Fame announcement. Randy Johnson, this is why today is a great day. We have never had a day. Eric, we've never had a day in the history of Arizona sports where we've been able to say a member of the Diamondbacks went into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, Roland Heeman in their front office, the great Roland, of course, he's been honored by the Hall of Fame and is in the Hall of Fame, but he was with the White Sox for many, many years. In terms of a player, today at noon, that is all going to change. And I'm very excited about that. You? Is it just another day?
No, I'm very excited about it. Didn't Roberto Alomar go in as a Diamondback?
No.
He didn't?
As a Diamondback?
Thought I read somewhere that he did.
Really?
I thought I could be mistaken.
No, no. Would surprise
I don't know.
Me.
I just saw that on social media, Robbie. But you can't really believe everything you...
Really? You can't? No, I would be stunned if he went as a Diamondback, okay. But that's just me. Okay. I could be wrong. It's fine.
Operator error on my part.
No. It's fine. It's caught me by surprise. It's good. Charles Davis is going to be with us in hour number two, Fox College football analyst. We think Charles Davis is one of the best in the business, and it's time to get a first look at Ohio State and Oregon. We spent so much time on yesterday's show over the NFL weekend. This matchup of Oregon and the Buckeyes, you have a third-string quarterback at Ohio State that beat big, bad Alabama. I love that.
And he went in as a Blue Jay, so my bad.
That's fine.
I need coffee.
That's
more
fine.
Of it. So.
More coffee. You know, Dutch Bros. Let's get more Dutch Bros in here. We'll be good.
Preferably.
Yeah. So, you know, the mutual respect angle from Charles Davis's view on the college football front. Charles was SeatGeek. I want to find out what that's all about. It's the first ever title game next Monday. So we'll talk some college football with Charles Davis. In between our guests, there's a lot on my mind. There's some really cool stories today. The computer, the CES show, Consumer Electronics Show up in Vegas, they unveiled a self-driving Mercedes last night. So guys, we're all into gadgets. So at some point, I got to work that into the show, a self-driving Mercedes. The top quarterback in the country as a sophomore in high school, Bishop Gorman, pulled his verbal and has ASU now on his list. I want to get into that. They're considering replay in Texas high school football. Is that coming to Arizona? Yeah, we have to have replay. Let's go up to the booth. It's a high school game. Of course. Of course we do. So to get into that and much, much more. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. You know it. It's in the beautiful White Mountains. If you've never been, why not get up there? Let me give you a couple reasons why to head up. January 30th, Eric's going to be there in the front row for the ABBA tribute. Who wouldn't be? ABBA, June 30th, the ABBA tribute. Dancing Queen. I know the words. You can also go to the Lulu Clam Dig promotion. Contestants spin a wheel to find out how many clams they dig up. Clams have cash or free play. They could draw a coconut for a multiplier. Who wouldn't want a coconut? It's at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's a lot of fun. It's just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. And, of course, with the big storm that just moved through, you can head on up there and do some skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort. What a great place Sunrise Ski Resort is. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's all there for you at the Honda Resort and Casino. Again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Peter King here in about 10 minutes. So I want to start with the Hall of Fame today, and I'll get over to some NFL in a minute. The Hall of Fame, Randy Johnson is not going to get every vote into the Baseball Hall of Fame. How do I know that? Because a guy in Minneapolis released his ballot and he put out there that he did not put Randy or Pedro Martinez on his Hall of Fame ballot. One of the guys voting today said, I'm not putting Randy Johnson and I'm not putting Pedro Martinez on it. I don't want to give the guy the name because that's what he wants. Guys, when they do this, want to be interviewed, want to get the national attention, want to make a name for themselves. This guy said that he's counting on his Baseball Writers Association brothers and sisters to send Randy and Pedro to Cooperstown. Thus, he decided to put Larry Walker and Alan Trammell on his ballot instead of Randy and Pedro. It's his way of saying, I want to keep these guys' hopes alive. Makes perfect sense to me, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Sorry. You want to be that guy? Of course you do. When you leave this guy off your ballot, you have to be absolutely nuts.
Be bigger. The number 20 here tonight. 2-2 to Castro. Randy Johnson has tied the Major League record for strikeouts in a 9-inning game. 20 for the big unit.
Now, I was at that game. Eric, were you at that game?
I was not.
You were not? Okay.
I was not, but I was working that game.
You were working that game. So you're back at the
Palatial Studios, yes.
The big KTAR That's studios it. Back in the day. So I'm there, and there was I'll pull Charles Barkley into this discussion.
And that was May 8th, 2001, for the people that don't remember that.
Don't remember it.
The actual date, so quite a while ago.
So Randy strikes out 20. Charles had a game against Golden State, a playoff game, where he had like 30 at halftime. And I remember taking out a dollar bill and throwing it down to all the media in the press box saying this is up in Golden State, he's going to finish with 50. And we all had to choose a number, right? So the same sort of deal happened that night with Randy. When he got to, I don't know, it was like 14 or 15 strikeouts, I pulled out a dollar bill and said he's going to get 18. You know, whoever got it. But the same person couldn't have the number as another person. So we all have different numbers of strikeouts. It was something it was surreal because every guy went up there was just swinging, saying, I'm not going to be the one that strikes out. So he gets 20. Then there was this game with Randy. This was his second tour of duty with the Diamondbacks down in Atlanta.
And a 2-2 to Perez. Flown a perfect game, the seventh in National League history.
Oh, look at his teammates out there mobbing him. Tommy, oh, that is awesome. What a way to start a road trip, baby.
Doesn't get much better now, does it?
I've never seen that before. I want to go down there and jump on him. Come on, Tommy, let's go down there.
13 strikeouts tonight for Randy Johnson.
So when you go through Randy's run here, and what we saw in both times that he was here, it was an event that we haven't had many players like that roll through. If you were a football fan with Kurt Warner's run, yeah, I think you could say it was fun to go watch Kurt Warner, but that was a team sport. Baseball's a team sport, but there's only one guy out on the mound. So every fifth day when Randy pitched, it was an event. Same goes for Curt Schilling. Not quite of the magnitude, in my opinion. In my opinion, when Randy pitched, I looked forward to it a little bit more than Curt. There was a little bit of a sense of, I'm going to see something amazing tonight. Curt was such a tactician. Randy will tell you that strikeouts were overrated. which was amazing when he struck 20 guys out. And his logic was this. It was pretty simple. I have to throw a number of pitches to get a strikeout, at least three. And guys could foul it off, and my pitch count's going to go up. My pitch count goes up, I'm not going to be in the game if they get me out of the game because my pitch count's up.
And many times, Brad, the only way to get Randy Johnson out of a game was to hope that you could get his pitch count over 100,
sure,
and he'd eventually run out of gas.
Sure.
Because most guys just couldn't hit him. I mean, I was talking with a friend. What's the most iconic Randy Johnson moment? For me personally, it was the perfect game because there's only been 23 of them in 135 years of baseball. But, you know, we could go down the line and reminisce about, I mean, the hitting the pigeon in Tucson and the World Series against the Yankees. They're so coming out of the bullpen. There's so many. It's hard just to pick one.
Well, and you talk about he would get angry about the question about hitting the bird. He didn't think that was funny. But anybody that saw that, I saw on Twitter the other day, somebody sent Randy a note. How many birds have you hit in your lifetime?
Ugh.
Right? Okay.
Don't do that.
So, but I remember when I was walking through the locker room and he yells at me. He's like, hey, why haven't you had me on your show yet? And this was like, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks into the season. And my whole thing with guys and inviting them to come on shows is I don't like to be that guy that's always in front of them saying, will you please come on with us? I tend to just look for the right moment. And we had an up and down relationship, but it was mostly on the upside. I mean, I'll talk to Pedro about this because I'm sure Pedro had some knockdown dragouts with him. I actually enjoyed the knockdown dragouts. And I've said this before, but if you haven't heard it, when you're around greatness, okay, when you're around greatness, you're probably going to get yelled at and you're probably going to get blown off and you're probably going to have some uncomfortable situations. As long as somebody is there to talk, that's all that matters to me. Okay. And there were times where Randy was so pissed and he'd have to sit there and look into cameras and microphones and try to explain himself, or you'd walk over and want to visit with him further on an off day. I remember a poor intern at one of the TV stations went over to Randy on the day that he pitched. And it was like, I wanted to tackle this person. And somebody got in the way as they were trying to say, hey, Randy had a question for you. Like that would have been death on arrival. You just didn't do that with him on the day that he pitched. You know, there were problems. He and Luis Gonzalez, I wouldn't say were the best of friends, but they were competitive teammates. I don't have a problem with teammates going after one another. This is a day to celebrate. This is a real big day to celebrate. There's of guys going into the Hall of Fame. You know, Charles went into the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner may go into the Hall of Fame. Randy's going into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if Schilling's going to make it into the Hall of Fame. This is his third trip on the ballot. We saw, in my mind, the best ever at his position. Ever. And he was here in Arizona as a part of a startup franchise. Yeah, he came in a couple of years in. Jerry paid big money. So what? And when I hear this, well, Jerry left the franchise in ruins financially. I don't know. He won a title. Have they come even close to sniff it since then? Not taking a shot at Ken, but gosh almighty, you've got to spend. And without spending, we're not sitting here today talking about somebody. I don't care if he goes in as a Diamondback or a Mariner. It's a big debate for some fans. I know this, that as our company unfolds, that this year when he's elected, we will go to Cooperstown. We have to be at Cooperstown this year. It's just the way it is. So there's that on my mind today. The Suns open a road trip tonight at Milwaukee, a team that beat them at the buzzer. They play Minnesota tomorrow. These are a couple teams I think they should beat. They're playing better. They've won 8 of 10. Robert Sarver's bid to own a hockey or a soccer franchise. Wish he owned I shouldn't say that. A bid to own a soccer franchise was rejected this morning. And there's some more stuff on the Cardinals, some grades that came out I want to get to as well as we continue on. Up next, we'll switch gears over to the NFL playoffs and the future of Larry Fitzgerald from Peter King's view. SI.com senior NFL writer, MMQB, the MMQB, the best in the business. That's Peter King. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Again, a great day in Arizona sports coming up at noon. The announcement of Randy Johnson going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll have much more on that with Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes. The dirt has been thrown on the Arizona Cardinals, the future of Larry Fitzgerald, Todd Bowles, all things around the NFL with Peter King now. It's always great to have Peter with us, SI.com senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about the new Confident Retirement Approach. Call Jeremy today to review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Ameriprise Financial, Jeremy Kitamura with the Peter King segment. How are you, Peter?
Brent, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, other than I'm hearing a lot about a guy named Dean Blandino and a guy named Pete Morelli and a guy named Chris Christie, and I didn't see any of them put on a uniform in any way, shape, or form. Did I miss something over the weekend, Peter?
Well, you know, first of all, let's take a second and discuss the calls and then lack thereof.
Yeah.
To me, I believe that one of the problems that you have in officiating in the postseason is the fact that they split up the crews. Now, Dean Blandino and before him Mike Pereira put together, and Carl Johnson, put together these officiating crews, and they emphasize, one of the things they emphasize is the chemistry among the crew. And, you know, somebody, you know, is familiar with the movements and the speed of this guy, and the back judge knows the side judge and knows what they're going to do and can trust them. Last year, when I traveled with Gene Steratore's crew for a week, one of the things that really stuck out in my mind is that, you know, the back judge, Dino Paganelli, who's probably the best back judge in football, really, really good official. He knows that when, say, when the head linesman, Wayne Mackey, would come in and he would say something, now, Dino, this is what I saw. He knows, because he's worked with this guy, I can really trust what he says. Now, if Dino Paganelli works with a side judge who he's never worked with before, a head linesman he never worked with before in the playoffs, how does he know when this guy is striding after a big play? Should I believe him or should I stick with my own guns? You know, so I don't understand. And I know that it's to get more officials a chance to work playoff games. And it's something that the officials union worked hard for. I think it is a gigantic mistake to change crews before the playoffs, because you eliminate then that whole thing you've been working on for 5 months.
Right.
The chemistry aspect of this job. So that, to me, I think is directly to blame for what happened at the in the fourth quarter of the Dallas game.
Because I've had some fans that have said, well, look, it works in baseball where they put different completely different
sports. It's not quite the same in baseball, though, because what they're having to do in baseball is to decide whether something is fair or foul.
Right.
And your eyes can tell you that. You know, I mean, it's just different. Now, there may be some ways in baseball that the chemistry of a crew can help. But I think, you know, it's like George Young used to say this, the old general manager of the Giants, that we're not baseball. You just can't trade a second baseman or a guard from Pittsburgh to Baltimore and expect the guard to play at a high level on Sunday. He needs to know the line calls, everything like that. Whereas you could trade a second baseman from Pittsburgh to Baltimore, and the next day he's going to play just fine, because other than how you want to take the tag at second base or how you want to take the double play throw from the shortstop, really, is there anything that's even a little bit different? No. So that, to me, I don't buy that argument at all.
The MMQB, Peter King with Brad Sussmat. Okay, so then pass interference and defensive holding, is there going to be a push to make it reviewable in this upcoming offseason?
I certainly hope so. Bill Belichick said this a few years ago. He's absolutely 100% right. Every play should be replay reviewable. Now, I've said this before, and then what happens immediately after that is that everybody starts screaming, yeah, then games will be 4 hours long. No, they won't, because you will not have an increase in the number of reviews that you, or number of challenges that you have in a game as a coach. So there is absolutely no way. I mean, maybe a coach will feel freer. Say, if he's got one challenge to go with, say, 4 minutes to go, maybe he'll feel freer just to challenge a play, you know, knowing that he's got one challenge left in his pocket. It could be. But if the alternative to that is the fact that you use your challenge and you're wrong, you lose a timeout, there's still going to be the ability to regulate how much those things are used. So I am fully, fully in favor of, you know, every play being replay reviewable. And, you know, if it makes the game 2 minutes longer, then so be it. But I don't think it will.
And if it were in place, we would be talking about Detroit. I don't think 100% we would be talking about Detroit. It would give them a better chance today if this had been in place already.
It would have given them a better chance.
Yeah.
What would have happened, you know, what basically would have happened is that with about 8 minutes to go, Detroit would have had a 3-point lead and a 20-17 lead, and the ball on Dallas is maybe, maybe 25-yard
yeah.
line. So you got to figure that at minimum they're going to get a field goal. And if they go drive it in, obviously they're going to, you know, they're going to drive it in for a touchdown. Now, Brad, I'll also say this X factor. You know, when they took that, when they took the interference away, when they reversed themselves, you got to remember one thing. It was then 4th and 1.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, and Matthew Stafford went to the line of scrimmage as though he was going to snap the ball. Now, this is one of the problems I have with the call in general. By the time they knew that the call had been reversed, the play clock was starting to run again.
Yeah.
So they don't even have time to think about this.
Right.
What is our decision going to be? Are we going to go for it? Are we going to punt and try to put him in a coffin corner? Or what are we going to do? So what happens, they take the 5-yard penalty for delay a game. And then their punter has the worst kick of his life at the worst time, possibly. Sam Martin has a 10-yard shankopotamus. And then Dallas is able to go, you know, drive for the winning touchdown. But, I feel this way strongly, you know, I mean, Detroit can complain and be unhappy with this, and they should be. They absolutely should be, because they got jobbed in this case. However, however, with a capital H, in my opinion, that single play did not cost them the game. It contributed to it,
yeah.
And Dallas was lucky because the play was reversed. But, you know, it did not cost them the game.
Yeah, you use the term shankopotamus, so Drew Butler.
You like that, don't you?
Oh, I love that, because out here I would have called it a horse bleepopotamus with what happened with the special teams. I mean, you talk about look, it's one thing to blame poor Ryan Lindley, who will probably never see another snap in Arizona.
I feel for the guy.
Yeah.
I really do feel for him, because, look, you're exactly right. Poor Ryan Lindley. A lot of people would say, well, this is his opportunity. Why don't you do? But imagine. I'm fairly sure that the first time Ryan Lindley ever took a snap with the first team offense, you know, in Arizona, is basically after Drew Stanton goes down. So, I mean, come on. It's really unfair to put all the blame on this guy. And again, I'm sure that bricks got thrown through television sets.
Yep.
When you're 2 scores down, he gets the ball at the 8-yard line and he throws it like Luke Kuechly's the intended receiver. I get it. I get the anger. If I were a Cardinal fan, I'd be furious too. But the fact is, you cannot expect your third-string quarterback and a guy who wasn't even on your team for half the season, you can't expect your third-team quarterback to come in and play at an even remotely a high level against a defense that over the previous 4 games was allowing 11 points a game. It's unfair. It's totally unfair.
Well, here's the thing, Peter, to add to that. It's unfair to expect much out of him when he's handing off to 2 practice squad guys as well. You know,
that's an excellent.
I mean,
excellent,
come on. It's Kerwin Williams and Marion Grice, for crying out loud. He's not handing off to guys that have been on the field.
I kind of like Williams.
I do, too. But
he's
really not.
I really do. I think he should have a place on the team next year. But can I just say one other thing?
Sure.
To me, if I'm Steve Keim this offseason, And I'm Bruce Arians, you know what I'm thinking? Remember a couple of years ago when the Dallas Cowboys paid Kyle Orton a ridiculous sum to come in and be their backup quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a dumb idea. I think what they should do right now is they should offer, and I'd have to think about who would be this, but imagine this. Say a former starter who's a bit down on his luck right now, who people aren't going to go after aggressively, maybe even a Josh McCown. Okay, you go to Josh McCown and you say, look, we want you to be either the second or third string quarterback on our team. I don't know which one, but one of those. But you know what we're going to do? We're paying you $3 million a year in order to do that. And we're bumping up Drew Stanton. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things in training camp. May the best man be the backup quarterback. But you know that your third string quarterback is going to have the ability to step in there and at least be a hold the fort guy if you need him. And I think if Carson Palmer is your quarterback, you cannot cast your lot with a third string quarterback who you sign him. And you cross your fingers behind your back and say, God help us if he ever has to play.
Well, but let me, I'll disagree with you on this point. So when you make a mistake drafting a quarterback in the top 10, you pay for it for 10 years. You pay for it and then you miss. And the Cardinals did exactly that with big, bad Matt Leinart. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're still spinning their wheels here in Arizona. They found lightning in a bottle with Carson, but you wrote this and I agree with you. He's brittle. All right. There comes a point where you have to draft a young quarterback. And I agree with you about having the veteran. Stanton was adequate, Peter. Is Mark Sanchez a better upgrade out here? Does that make any sense? I think Mark Sanchez is going to want to go find a place where he's the guy, myself, personally. Is this quarterback class deep enough? At some point, they've got to make amends for the sin of missing on a top 10 with Leinart. And
well, and you're right about that. You're right about that, but I'm not sure this draft is the one to do that with.
All right.
I'm not sure, and here's why. Carson Palmer, I think, has got 3 good years left. That's just my opinion. Maybe it's only 1, maybe it's 5, but I would just guess he's got 3 good years left. But having said that, knowing that how brittle he has become and how you can't count on him, I would rather this year, instead of casting my lot with a young quarterback, I would rather go and take a veteran guy who I know can get me through games if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
If I take a young quarterback this year, like he's going to be my long-term guy, we hope, well, there's also the chance that if Carson Palmer plays well for the next 3 years, you're going to end up trading him.
Yeah.
You know, a la Ryan Mallett.
I see your point.
So that's why I wouldn't do that this year. If I was Steve Keim, Arians, I'd target a veteran guy who might have a year or two left, pay him more than he's worth, and say, we don't know what you're going to be. You might be 2, you might be 3, but we need a better situation with the quarterbacks on our bench than we had this year.
What do you think happens with Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona?
About 2 months ago, I was talking to Larry, and we were talking about his financial conundrum and this contract, and he goes, look, the one thing we all know is that I am not going to be playing for my cap number as it exists now in 2015. I'm well aware of that. The Cardinals are well aware of that. And he was absolutely adamant that he hoped that it could get done with Arizona and that he could stay. You know, a lot of people are connecting the dots and saying, well, okay, this is a perfect guy for Bill Belichick. Belichick loves him, veteran end of his career. But the only thing is, look at the receivers that Belichick has gotten at the end of their careers. They're guys who you don't have to pay $1 jillion to because he will not pay a wide receiver $1 jillion. Go back and look at what Randy Moss made, and even in his great year, 2007, with New England. I forget what it is, but it's very reasonable. So the only way Larry Fitzgerald, in my mind, would end up in New England is if he took half of what he could get somewhere else. That's just my feeling. And my gut feeling is I think he's going to be realistic, and he's going to look at the landscape, and he's going to say at the end of the day, I really want to stay in Arizona, so let's make a contract that makes sense for both sides.
It's interesting. Before I let you go, I'm not going to ask you about winners, losers. What's the storyline? The obvious one this weekend is Dallas Green Bay. You may have a different storyline that you're looking more forward to, or a player you're looking forward to.
I think this is a historic game. I just think it's a fantastic, fun, historic game. And the storyline in that game is how mobile will Aaron Rodgers be? Because if he is not mobile, all of a sudden I give Dallas the advantage in that game. If he has to be only a pocket quarterback who can't move around because of his calf, I think Dallas has a heck of a chance to go in there and steal one.
Safe travels, Peter. Appreciate the insight and time as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Good talking to Peter King every week, the MMQB. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about the new Confident Retirement Approach. Call Jeremy today to review all your wealth planning needs. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. Peter King, Sports 360, Jeremy Kitamura, that is a winning combination. On the other side, Pedro Gomez, today a historic day for Arizona Diamondback fans. Randy Johnson going to go into the Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2015. How deep of a class? And if Pedro had to choose between Pedro Martinez, who's going in today, or Randy Johnson, who would he take? One game. Ask Pedro that next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Big day in Arizona sports. Randy Johnson at noon today. We'll find out that he's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Eric, do you follow Pedro Gomez on Twitter? You ever seen Pedro's Twitter feed?
Duh. Of course I do.
Yeah. Do you see how much abuse he takes?
Yeah, it's unwarranted. And one of the things I love about Pedro is that he is one of the most social on social media. He will respond to anyone who tweets him, and he will also block people who he gets annoyed with, which I find pretty amusing.
Do you block everybody that annoys you, Pedro?
Believe it or not, I don't reply to, I only reply to about, God, I would say 20, 25%. So you can imagine the other 75%.
Yeah, I mean, what is the deal? The hate, just the absolute angst last night.
I know it's Hall of Fame Day, but it really should be Hall of Fame Rage Day.
Yeah.
Because there is so much rage among fans. And I personally understand. I mean, baseball is a very passionate sport. If you're a fan, you have a lot of passion for the sport, just as I do. But, you know, the Hall of Fame is the Hall of Fame, and each voter gets to decide what their own criteria is.
Well, it's not like the Football Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame, there's always great debate. And it seems to me that of the Hall of Fames in sports, that the passion, and I don't know the Hockey Hall of Fame inside and out. Hockey fans are very passionate, too. It's just a smaller number. But am I right about that, that the Baseball Hall of Fame, there's just more debate and more argument?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I think that it's the same, probably the same reason that when you see a PED bust in baseball, it gathers so much more attention than a PED bust in the NFL. Mm. And I think that baseball just elicits passion beyond any of the other sports. And I think that speaks very highly of baseball. I know that football has the higher ratings. There's no doubt that it's a more popular sport on that level, and maybe because baseball is played every day, it simply can't gain the type of traction that football has. But I think it speaks volumes to the amount of care that people have over baseball as opposed to, say, the NFL.
ESPN Baseball Insider Pedro Gomez, good friend of the show. We're also going to talk some football with Pedro in a couple minutes. He's been over at the Cardinals quite a bit, but today he is a Hall of Fame voter, and this is the big deal today in sports. Who's going to get a higher percentage of vote, Pedro Martinez or Randy Johnson?
Oh, boy. I would not be surprised if it's like within 1-1.5% of each other, and I can't tell you who's going to get higher, but I would think that it's going to be one of the highest tandems in the history of the balloting, if not the highest. You're talking about two dominant lockdown starting pitchers who just one from the right side, one from the left side, who really, when you think about it, there was hardly anybody better. And, you know, Randy had to overcome a lot early in his career, mm-hmm. In terms of wildness. When you go and look at his numbers in terms of walks, those first few years in Montreal, and maybe even the first couple of years in Seattle, it is incredible that he was able to steady himself, because he looked like somebody that just was not going to be able to last. And so, you know, credit to him for finding the mechanic, a coach, whoever it was that put him on the right track. And in Pedro's case, you're talking about somebody who, again, was an expo, but they didn't believe in him either and traded him away. And he was a Dodger, I should say.
Dodger,
then an expo,
yeah, he was a Dodger.
Then, a Dodger, then an expo, and then, you know, free agency, he went to the Red Sox and just took off. So a credit to Dan Duquette, then GM of the Red Sox, who at the time, remember, when they gave him that $75 million deal, just blew every pitcher out of the water with that contract. But Duquette obviously knew what they had in Pedro Martinez.
You have one game. You have to start Pedro or Randy, game seven. Who do you go with?
If it's just one game.
Game seven World Series. You have Pedro, you have Randy. Man. It's kind of like you had Shill and you had Randy. But in this case, it's Pedro and Randy. Who do you go with? For me.
Do I have the other one in the bullpen? Do I have the other one in the bullpen?
You have the other one in the bullpen, yeah.
Okay, then I'll start Pedro.
See, I think, you know, Randy, with his back late in his career, I'd probably start Randy just to get him warm and get him going and go the other way from you. I guess I should phrase this, at what point in their career? Late in Randy's career, I'd have to get him started. I wouldn't want him down in the pen myself. Just me.
Yeah. And Pedro, boy, that 98, 99, 00, 1, 2, 3 era, man, there was nobody that really could touch him. And let's not forget that Pedro spent those years in the American League East. Small ballparks, big mashers, you know, going up against the Yankees all those times, 18 times a year. I think that Pedro probably gets a little bit more just because of that.
When you would go to a ballpark and it was Randy or Pedro pitching, whether it was your assignment here when you were in Arizona or when you went national, was there a little bit more step in you, or is it just, it's just another game?
No. You, I think you recognize, at least as a baseball fan, you always recognize, hey, I'm watching somebody pretty special here tonight. It's kind of like when you go watch Kershaw, you know that you're watching greatness. I mean, if you could turn back the clock and say, hey, it's 1964 and Koufax is on the mound today, or Gibson or Marichal, I hope that you would say, wow, I'm watching greatness. At the time, maybe you do kind of take it for granted. I never did. I think I fully recognize the great ones, and I always am more cognizant of just being a little sharper in focus on days that somebody like that is pitching.
Was Randy loved in the Diamondbacks clubhouse by his teammates, all of them?
He kind of was, you know, off to himself. He, you know, he and I had conversations over the years, many, and I used to tell him that he was like a caged lion on the days he pitched.
Right.
Because he would just walk around the clubhouse sneering at anybody. And you talked to some of his teammates, and there were days that they would say, hey, Randy, what's up? And he'd just walk right past them and not acknowledge that they were even there. And I'm not sure that it was so much aloofness or arrogance as it was he was just zoned in on those days and knew, hey, I'm pitching today. Leave me alone. I've got my thing to do. You do your thing however you want, but don't even look at me on this day. And you know, there were days that when he wasn't pitching, he was definitely a different person.
Sure.
But on days he was pitching, he was just an out-of-body guy that he wasn't there. He was not there. He was off in another zone, and that's probably what made him so special, that he was able to lock into that area that so few have been able to achieve.
How were he and Gonzo together? People remember the incident in the dugout in San Francisco.
In the dugout in San Francisco, yeah.
People remember that, and I've had that question asked many, many times when I speak. You know, what was that relationship like? Was it strained at all?
Brad, I would say that there were days that it absolutely was strained. Yeah. But I would say that when they get together now for a reunion of some sort, that, you know, there's hugs. But that's going to be the case with almost anybody. When you get 25 guys together, living together for 8 months, there are going to be good days and bad days. And Randy absolutely has a prickly personality at times. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Whereas Luis was always outgoing, effervescent, you know, just, hey, what's happening? And it didn't matter if it was Game 7 of the World Series or if it was, you know, mid-April against the Expos. It didn't matter for Luis. He was always the same type of guy. Randy was more up and down, and you really never knew what it was. So I would say that their relationship absolutely had strains, but I think that Randy's relationship with a lot of guys, teammates, was strained at times. But that was his personality.
Quickly, how many players did you put on your ballot? Because you can vote up to a maximum of 10. There's the narrative that this will be the largest Hall of Fame class since 1955. How many did you put on your ballot?
I put seven. And I know that I've been on record here saying that I do not vote for anybody that is linked to PEDs or that through conversations I've had with teammates, front office people, managers, coaches, whatever, who I strongly suspect are PED users. And I don't put them on my ballot. And, you know, until there's a change in the voting system where they tell us, don't worry about that, much like the NFL. The NFL does not have a character clause in their process for voting, but MLB does. The Hall of Fame does stipulate character is part of the equation. So until they remove that, I'm going to continue with my convictions and vote and not vote for players that have been linked to or that I strongly suspect through conversations that were users.
Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN Baseball Insider. Today, the 2015 Hall of Fame class in baseball will be announced in about an hour and some change. He's also doing quite a bit of work around the NFL, and you've been at the Cardinals. That story came to a thud, a concluding thud on Saturday. I wasn't surprised. What did you take away from covering that team?
What I took away is that Bruce Arians has a lot of guys who are following his lead. Maybe players who aren't rated as the highest caliber of NFL players, but they're going to play to a level that is going to allow the Cardinals to win games. And when you look at what Bruce Arians has done in just a couple of seasons here, a 10 and 11 win season, it's really with not the highest level of players. I mean, even this year, the defense, losing Darryl Washington to the suspension, losing Darnell Dockett, losing Tyrann Mathieu for about half the season with injury. You look at Calais Campbell, remember, missed about three or four games in the middle of the season. The level that they play at without being superstars, I think that speaks volumes to what Bruce Arians is having those guys believe in, and they've bought into it, and they're seeing the results. Because a lot of times you get coaches who say, look, this is the way we can do this, but if they don't see the results, it just wears players down. But in this particular case, they are seeing results. And so I think that Bruce Arians has been a phenomenal hire, and that's really what I take away more than anything.
Stay well. Appreciate the time, as always. See you down the road.
Okay, Brad.
There's Pedro Gomez for a couple of minutes, ESPN Baseball Insider, Valley resident, sports360az.com. We are here every day from 10 a.m. until noon doing our thing, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Hey, before we get to the break, let me do this real quick. I want to talk about Mareel Slater. Mareel Slater Insurance. Guys, here's the thing. You heard all about health care and open enrollment for your health care. And the message was out there that by December 15th, you've got to decide. Well, that's not true. Open enrollment ends on February 15th. And there's some of you out there that haven't gotten your health care intact for 2015. And you're not sure where to go. You've been told to go to a website. You really don't know. Let me tell you where to go, and that's to Mareel Slater Insurance, to Tom and John. I'm going to give you a website here in a second to go to contact Mareel Slater Insurance about your health insurance. And again, open enrollment ends in just over a month on February 15th. Go to msinsurancellc.com, msinsurancellc.com to get more information, and then contact Mareel Slater. Contact Tom and John at msinsurancellc.com, Real Slater Insurance. They'll help you navigate through what many people want to put off. I don't want to deal with insurance. You have to deal with insurance, okay? And they help me with mine and my family and Sports 360 AZ. They can do the same for you. msinsurancellc.com. Open enrollment ends February 15th. Maria Slater Insurance, msinsurancellc.com. On the other side, so there's a couple stories that are there some random things that are out there today? One of them is the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. I have to get over to some of the stuff that's going on up there. What is available for Oregon and Ohio State if you want to go to the game and the places you can stay? One of them does have a stripper pole. It's awesome to tell you about that. High school football looking at replay in high school football. And one of the top quarterbacks in the country puts ASU on his list. So I got a lot to get to on the other side. In about 10 minutes, Charles Davis, Fox College football analyst, first preview of Oregon and Ohio State. I'm Brad Sussmat. I got all these Randy Johnson visions going through my head of great games, moments, and all that stuff on this day where he will be named to the Baseball Hall of Fame later on. And we'll have much more conversation about this tomorrow. Jeff Munn will be in this chair tomorrow, one of the voices of the Diamondbacks, which would be great to have Jeff in studio to talk much more about it. And then the follow-through on the guys that he played alongside, guys like Damian Miller, who caught Randy Johnson, or Kelly Stinnett.
Robbie Hammack caught the perfect game.
Yeah. Curt Schilling is probably not going to make it into the Hall of Fame. This will be his third time on the ballot. And unless he gets starts to get a push, I don't know if he's going to make it in. It doesn't look like it. Everything's bigger in Texas. Okay, so we have Oregon and Ohio State next Monday night. And of course, like here at the Super Bowl, Eric, you're not renting out your house for Super Bowl time, are you?
Not yet, but we're considering it.
We're considering it as well. Why not? You can go make some big jack. So in Dallas on Craigslist right now, ads for housing for the game next week range from $250. I don't know what you get for $250, like a bed, a cot, up to $45,000 for a multi-night stay near the stadium. Here's some of the deals. There's an RV rental down in Dallas, $250 a night. Pretty reasonable, right? All you have to do is show up and party. That's on Craigslist. $250. There's your RV. Knock yourself out. One guy is renting out three rooms in his dad's house for $400 a night. He will also be your personal driver the entire time because, quote, this saves the aggravation of finding parking and paying insane amounts to park.
That's a good deal.
So $400 a night.
That's a good deal.
The guy will drive you around.
Because think about it. Rental cars are going to be spiked.
Sure.
Gas is cheap in Texas, but I mean, just to park anywhere near Jerry World for a normal Cowboy game is like $150. I can't imagine what it's going to be on Monday night.
Me, I'm looking at the $1,000 a night penthouse that promises one inflatable queen mattress. Of course it does. That's where I want to stay. But even better, it promises a stripper pole. Why not? That's what I look for when I'm going to go to a football game. Does it have the pole? But none of them approach this Texas-style dig. $7,500 a night, country ranch home. You can have horseback riding, duck hunting, two shotguns, a weight room, a real Texas Longhorn on the property. Six-night minimum, $45,000. Why not? Who wouldn't want to go to a football game and go shoot some ducks?
So ridiculous.
What a great time. Hey, honey.
Shoot some ducks?
We're going to go. Yeah, it's duck hunting. There's two shotguns that are filled.
Only Ohio State fans can, of course.
Of course. So they're going to go to those Buckeye fans that say, I understand you can't pay the mortgage on your house. You can't rub two nickels together. But if you charge this, you could stay here and then, hey, let's go shoot ducks and then go watch the game.
Would you be weird staying at like a complete stranger's house?
I would be weird.
I would. It'd be kind of weird.
It would be weird.
I'd rather just stay at a hotel.
Well, no, you know,
you have less space, but at least it's your own space. You're not like sleeping in someone else's bed.
Then there's the Consumer Electronics Show, and then we'll take a break. So the Consumer Electronics Show's in Vegas. I love CES because all of us guys are into gadgets, even me who have a hard time changing light bulb or putting air in my tires, okay? I love CES. The Consumer Electronics Show started yesterday, and last night, Mercedes rolled out the F0150 Luxury in Motion. It's a sleek four-door automobile, luxury self-driving car. 15 years in the future or less, according to the head of Mercedes-Benz. Anyone who focuses solely on technology has not yet grasped how autonomous driving will change our society. So they've come up with a car that will drive itself. There's four seats in this car. All four of these seats turn and face one another. If you want to drive it, you can turn around one of the seats. Otherwise, it does it all itself. Lounge-style chairs that swivel 30 degrees. They have suicide-style doors that come open. Of course they have suicide-style doors that open. What a great term. Hey, you want this self-driving car? These are suicide doors. Perfect. That's what I've been looking for. The two front chairs also swivel to face the windshield in the event that manual driving is necessary. So let's say we're going to have a business meeting at Sports 360 and we get into our ride and we turn all the chairs around and it just goes, let's climb through the suicide doors and let's figure out tomorrow's show. Makes perfect sense to me.
Sweet.
Who wouldn't want it? It's over 17 feet long, the length of an SUV, an Escalade SUV, but sits low as a family sedan. This is coming. I don't know if I trust you in a self-driving car. What if self-driving car decides to get distracted? It's like my satellite radio where it just bleeps out. What if I'm going 70 and all of a sudden I hit a cloud? Is that why I have the suicide doors?
Yeah, don't go under any overpasses.
Right, exactly. And at least let this thing go for a couple of years before you decide I'm going to get one. Let somebody else try the suicide doors.
Because that's the beauty of satellite radio, until you go through a tunnel and then you're SOL. So,
replay coming to the high school state championship football games in Texas. Of course, that's where they're going to start doing replay. Why not?
Well, fans care a little bit about high school football down that part of the country. So, yeah, it only makes sense.
I love sports, especially on a day like today. We're going to talk about the college football title game with Charles Davis, one of the best in the business, Fox College football analyst on Oregon, Ohio State. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussman. Off we go into hour number two, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Peter King, SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief, will be with us. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider, on the day that Randy Johnson goes into the Hall of Fame. So a busy show with those two. And, of course, as promised, Charles Davis will join us here in a couple of moments. First, this segment brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. You can fly out of Gateway Airport to nearly 40 different locations on Allegiant Air. Allegiant Air can get you into Telluride this time of year for the ski season, right out of Phoenix Mesa Gateway. They can get you direct to Vegas, direct up to the Bay Area, over to Wichita, maybe it's into the Midwest, to Rockford, right outside of Chicago, up to Bozeman, Montana. What a great place that is. Eugene, Oregon, direct into Eugene from Gateway Airport. It is just plain easy. Appreciate Gateway Airport and their support of Sports 360 AZ. Charles Davis joins us now. He is coming to us. I want to talk to him about SeatGeek. Are you playing hurt today? Am I hearing right? Are you playing hurt, Charles?
I am, and I hate to even say that because people are truly hurt out there.
Yeah.
The cold flu season.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of battling through that right now. So to truly say I'm playing hurt isn't it, and I sound worse than I actually feel, but I just apologize to everyone out there who has to put up with listening to this scratchy voice. My apologies.
Fox College football analyst Charles Davis. He sounds terrible. No, I'm just kidding. You sound fine. All right, so
hey, if it's the truth, it's the truth. I can deal with it.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. I love having you on the show. So is this the matchup that you expected when this Final Four came out of Oregon, Ohio State next Monday night?
I actually picked both of them. It's rare that I'm that correct. So I'm very happy to get two right going into the championship game.
So, I'll try and be succinct. I picked Oregon because I thought that Florida State had lived all year long with being able to snap it together when the chips were down. But my prediction going into the game was if Florida State didn't keep it pretty well even throughout the game, because if they did, then Winston is tough down the stretch. We know that. I mean, his second halves have been pretty darn good.
Right.
Take everything else about the kid off the table and just say on the field when the chips were down, he's been nailed. But I thought that they had to keep it pretty well even because if they were down 14-17 as they'd been throughout the year, I predicted that the score could be 30 before it was over because Oregon was just a different animal than they had played all year. When I flip it over to Ohio State, Alabama, I thought that Ohio State had talent that was equal to Alabama's going into the game. They are an SEC-style team that happens to reside in the Big Ten because people hear Big Ten and don't think of speed. Well, Ohio State is fast at every position. It's not just out on the perimeter because a lot of Big Ten teams have been fast on the perimeter for years. But where they were getting beat was inside. The big guy, holes closed quicker on running plays. The defensive lineman got to the quarterback and to the runners quicker. That sort of thing. Ohio State is equipped to run with anyone that they play. And that's why I thought they had an excellent chance to beat Alabama, and they were able to.
Even with their third-string quarterback. I mean, that's what's...
Yeah, and that was your wild card.
Yeah.
Because I took them anyway because I thought that they would do enough to be able to protect him. I did not expect him to play as well as he played against Wisconsin because I thought the Wisconsin game gave us a false sense of what was going on because they jumped on Wisconsin so early, and Wisconsin's defense was shell-shocked because they weren't used to getting jumped on like that, and they just didn't handle it. And I just didn't think that Alabama would be in that same position. I thought they'd put way more pressure on him. The truth of the matter is they did early in the game. Remember how they struggled?
Yep.
But once the Ohio State offensive line got it together and started to give him a little more time, he had a chance to become accurate, and his confidence grew. And he's a big guy, 250 pounds. As that game went on, he started to look like Paul Bunyan with his confidence level.
Charles Davis, Fox College football analyst for a couple of minutes. He's going to talk about SeatGeek here in a second. Mariota, and you look at Joey Bosa over for Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, there's matchups all over the place. I guess that's one you've got to touch on.
Yeah, I mean, Bosa, to me, is the best combo defensive end in the country. What I mean by that is stout at the point of attack playing the run. Tremendous pass rusher, better than probably what his body type tells you because he's such a big, thick guy. And I know... And you've already heard them, I'm sure. The J.J. Watt comparisons have already started out. I don't know how much of that is because we're comparing, you know, Bosa and Watt. They kind of look like the same guy, you know. I don't know if that's truly an apt comparison just yet. But I do know this. Bosa is a true sophomore. Did not redshirt. And I saw him last year in the Big Ten championship game that they lost to Michigan State. And prior to his getting hurt, we called his name a lot that night. And then he got hurt in the third quarter, I believe, and that hurt Ohio State down the stretch. He's that much of a force. Where I think the Mariota thing is not so much Bosa. I think it's going to be if Ohio State tries to commit an extra defensive back to dance with Mariota, or if they use a linebacker, and the prime candidate, I would think, would be the guy who showed up so big against Alabama, and that's Darren Lee, number 43. Because he's a former DB that they pumped up to a linebacker, so you know he can run a little bit. But I'm just very – when you talk about spying a player of Mariota's status, that spy's got to be so hugged up on that quarterback because Mariota is going to beat that spy 9.9 times out of 10. He's just too quick, too good, too athletic for a defensive guy to dance with him all night long, in my humble estimation.
Okay, so we could go into Meyer and Helfrich, but to save your voice, I do want to know your thought on Harbaugh and Meyer and how that whole dynamic has changed. I know I'm getting ahead to 2015.
Yeah.
But
no, it's okay. I think everyone's there. You know, from the time Harbaugh got hired, the Big Ten, to me that helped us look at the Big Ten in a different light.
Yes.
Would you say that'd be an accurate statement?
Yes, yes,
and
no question.
And I think And I think that Ohio State's win over Alabama has been a big contributor to that. Wisconsin able to beat Auburn in this bowl season has helped. Because now you look at the Big Ten and you say to yourself, hold up a second. Penn State is off of the probation stuff, right, the issues, and they went to their first bowl game. And so now they get a chance to build. And James Franklin is charismatic and as good as it gets when it comes to that. And you know he's going to recruit like mad. And one other thing, he's not going to back down, is he? He's going to go after people. Now you add in Harbaugh at Michigan. That gives Michigan that type of hope right away, doesn't it? Hey, we're in. We're back. Let's go. Go get these kids. Meyer, we already have seen what he's done at Ohio State and his recruiting. And Mark D'Antonio, who always becomes the forgotten man. But has anyone looked at what he's done at Michigan State in the last 5 years?
Right.
I mean, you think he's going to back down to anyone? So the rock star coaches that we talk about, and here's my comparison. Did the Pac-12 get better in the last 3 or 4 years? What's been a big part of that? More at UCLA.
Yep.
Sarkisian coming in at USC. Oregon with Chip Kelly and now Mark Helfrich. Right? Chris Peterson finally left Boise State. We thought he'd never leave. He took Washington job. You know they're going to get better. You know? Rich Rod going to Arizona. Todd Graham, Arizona State. The coaching has not been better at the Pac-12 in a lot of years. Which means, I haven't even mentioned Mike Leach at Washington State.
Right.
They're now relevant. So when you put it all together, now look at the Big Ten. The guys we just named. The downside for the Big Ten is only one thing. They're all in the same division. Okay? When you flip it over to the other side, you've got good coaches, but you don't have rock stars. Mike Riley, who I happen to love at Nebraska, I think it's a big-time hire that'll be great for Nebraska. But he's not a rock star, is he? Wisconsin, Paul Christ, could not have been a better match. Wisconsin guy comes home, runs great offense. You know they're going to do it the Wisconsin way and still be excellent. But again, not a rock star. Iowa, Kirk Ferentz, I don't know that he'll actually be back next year.
Right.
I know that they've said that, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. It just feels like they're getting close to that point of the divorce. You know, the Iowa fans are unhappy. The record isn't there. But Kirk Ferentz is an excellent football coach. If he's back, they still have a chance. And last but not least, Jerry Kill. The job he's done in Minnesota has been tremendous. But out of all those guys I've named, would you tell me that you'd call any of them a rock star?
No.
No, but the four on the other side?
Yeah.
All rock stars.
Well,
so the Big Ten's image has really jumped up in that way. And look, let's just make it simple. You and I go to the Big Ten spring meetings this year and find our way into the coaches' meetings and pull up chairs and watch that room with those guys in it now. Harbaugh, D'Antonio, Franklin, Meyer. Can you imagine the body language that goes on in there? Imagine how they try and tilt the room to themselves. You're talking about four alphas going into that meeting now. That's a big-time deal.
I mean, you've put David Shaw in on the Pac-12 side, too. No, it's a great...
Yeah, and I apologize for leaving him out because that's my way, frankly, of taking him for granted. Because David Shaw is a rock star.
Yep.
I mean, everyone wants to talk about Harbaugh and what he started at Stanford. Agreed. But has anyone seen what they've continued at Stanford? It's been pretty phenomenal. David Shaw is a rock star.
Charles Davis, before we get out of here, SeatGeek. Tell me about SeatGeek.
Yeah, me and my great voice telling you about SeatGeek. What it is, very simply, is if we wanted to go to that national championship game, go to SeatGeek.com. Pull it down, put the app on your phone, find your seats for that game through SeatGeek. You can go onto their application. You can take a look and almost put yourself in that seat, those seats that are open, and you can see the field, get a look, say this is what it would look like from this seat. The other part is it has color coding in terms of telling you what the benefits are, the right place to go, the best price. If you see green, go get those seats. And it's easy for me to sit here and publicize it because I'm actually a consumer. I used SeatGeek last week to get two tickets for the Detroit-Dallas game for a very good friend of mine and his son. They're Cowboys fans to the core, and the son had never seen the Cowboys in person. I got him tickets for that game, and I got them through SeatGeek. And believe me, I've got the text, I've got the pictures, I've got the phone call. Thank you. This is fantastic. And I got a fantastic deal on getting those seats through SeatGeek. So I am a consumer, I'm a user, and I'm a believer. SeatGeek.com. So if we want to go, call me. I'll punch it up on SeatGeek and we'll take off and go.
That's good stuff. All right, Charles, save your voice. We'll talk down the road. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate you hanging in there with me today. Again, my apologies to everyone out there. Sorry about that. I hope I still managed to make some sense. Despite my voice,
you're
sound like Bobby Brady.
You're fine.
Trying
Jeez.
To change.
They got to put up with me and my voice. Come on.
Listen, I think I'm going through puberty again. You know, can you go through it twice? It certainly sounds like it. Talk to you later.
See you, Charles. Fox College football analyst Charles Davis. I love having him on. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience today started at 4 a.m. this morning. My daughter had to fly back to Chicago to go back to college, and we were up late last night talking about things, so it was an early, early morning for us. And guys, you ever had that moment where you're with your kids, and if you haven't, you will, where you're just driving along, and it's real quiet, and there's no one on the roads, and you just kind of start talking about how are things going to be, and, you know, dad's here, and if you need something, and we get down to the airport and get her checked in and say goodbye to her at the gate and then get in the car and drive away. You get a little, I don't want to say choked up, but just, you know, you get a little, well, choked up. And, you know, you drive out of there and you think of all the times you've had with her the last few weeks and taking her here, taking her there, doing things that we've done over the holiday season. And then she's gone again. For me, it's back to work. It's back to from here to meetings. It's to games. It's to things that I do around town. I do it in the Ford Fusion. Look, I do it in a vehicle that makes a lot of sense for me, but a car shouldn't just be, or a truck shouldn't be something you just get into and go from one place to the other. It's something that you're comfortable in. It's something you can have memories in. It's something that at Santan Ford, we've been a part of with them, with us with them for over 4 years now. Stop on in and see General Manager Tim Hovick and company. Get that car, get that truck. Could be the certified pre-owned. Maybe it's like the Explorer that my wife is driving or the Ford Fusion. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Peter King is on the other side. What does he think happens to Larry Fitzgerald? And is it a good thing when you hear names like Dean Blandino and Pete Morelli more than the games themselves? Because we've heard a lot about that from the NFL officials. The MMQB's Peter King, one of the best in the business, is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.